Listener-supported independent music radio, WNRN. I'm Desiree Moses. I am so thrilled to be joined today by Nico Case. Nico, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Nice to chat with you again. The new album is Neon Gray, Midnight Green. It's your first record since 2018's Hell On, but you've been busy. We spoke earlier this year about the release of your memoir, The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You. And before we dive into the new album, I want to pick up where our conversation left off last time. You mentioned that you were composing the musical adaptation of Thelma and Louise. So I'm just curious how that project's going.
It's going good. We did a run of three kind of test shows that were invite-only sort of exposition-y kind of thing. I don't know what the right word is if you're on Broadway or a stage performer. I'm terrible at that. But it just to see how it worked on stage, like on its feet, and it went really well. And so, you know, we know what we have to change and we know what is working, which is very exciting. And it, you know, I'd never seen it on a stage with the dancers and the lighting and the people watching it. You know, it's very different when that happens.
So you have that project that you're working on and the new record, Neon Gray, Midnight Green. We've enjoyed spinning rec here on WNRN. You recently played a show at the National in Richmond, and you were kind enough to lend us some of those recordings. So we're going to hear some live tracks from the album later on in our conversation. And then you'll be back in our area. You'll play the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville on January 18th. I want to start our conversation by highlighting the fact that you self-produced this record. So can you talk to us a little bit about that process and what that meant to you?
Well, I've, you know, produced many of my records, and it's always collaborative, you know, like, even though I am credited as the big producer, which I am, but, you know, I didn't do it alone. But, you know, I thought it was time, especially since it was recorded in my own studio, to just be the big boss, because I'm usually a big boss anyway. But there are few women or, you know, gender nonconforming people or trans people who are producers compared to the amount of producers who are, you know, men. So even I still, when I think about producers, I immediately, men come to mind. And I think, well, I would like to change people's perception, including my own. And so I just decided to credit myself.
With that said, are there choices that you were able to make on this record or that you found you've been able to make in the past when recording that maybe you wouldn't have been able to make, you know, had you not self-produced?
No, I know what I want. So I'm good at, you know, making sure that happens. I think that what was different was there was just a more casual air, a more, you know, like you're in your pajamas or something because it was at home. I mean, there's more pressure because you also feel like a host because everybody comes over and it's basically your space. So that's a little more stressful, but because, you know, you want everybody to be comfortable and be having a good time and et cetera, et cetera. And then you're also the guy who cleans the toilet and takes out the garbage. So that is a lot, but I was able to feel super present, you know, and I've been becoming way more present over the years every time I do something, just because I don't want the times in my life like that to go by. There's, you know, when I was coming up, the goal, it seemed to be people making a record in 2 weeks, if that. I'm just not the kind of person who can do that. I need more time.
Yeah.
It takes, you know, my focus for one thing, I'm ADHD. And so I burn out easily. And, you know, after a while, I can't even hear my own voice anymore. I'm like, well, there's a sound there. I can't identify it. You know, it's like when you stare at green too hard and all you see is red when you close your eyes.
It's right.
It's fatigue. So
yeah.
I like to work collaboratively because there's nothing more valuable than a second set of ears in production or in mixing or in just getting sounds in general, because sometimes your ability to hear high end or low end changes throughout the day. And so you want to check in with another person who also has a good set of ears to make sure that you're on course. So in the end, for me, it probably, you know, saves me time in a way, maybe not.
Nico Case is our guest today. We're talking about her new record, Neon Gray, Midnight Green. Let's hear a live version of a track from Neon Gray, Midnight Green, recorded at the National in Richmond. Nico Case on WNRN.
I watched a spider build her web.
never done before. I figured it was a three-day event, as intricate as they are, as fragile as they are. But she finished it in less than an hour. I felt cheated by how easy it was. No mistakes, no missteps. Born yesterday with the gears, I'm an atomic clock. Is she nothing but a program? Above it all,
Nico Case on WNRN, recorded live at the National in Richmond. She'll be back in Virginia in the new year playing the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville on January 18th. We're discussing the new album, Neon Gray, Midnight Green, Nico's first full-length release since 2018's Hell On. Recording primarily took place in your studio in Vermont. Can you tell us a little bit about the studio? When did you build it? How long have you been working there?
I didn't have to do much to build it. It's an old building in St. Johnsbury, Vermont that was a movie theater. And it was a small art theater. The sound build out was already there. And the building or the room was designed for sound to travel without ricocheting. And, you know, the ceilings are high, so the sound is really good, but it's not too big. It's just a perfect little, it's about 82 seat theater. It's just not large, and it's just very comfortable. But we still have a little control booth up top where the projectors used to be. And that came in really handy when poor Paul Rigby got COVID and we had to lock him up in the booth.
You get the booth.
I was like, sorry, Paul. We're sorry, Paul. He was such a trooper. I felt so bad for him.
I also read that this was mostly recorded, you know, live with the full band in the room. Can you talk to us a little bit about that process and what that was like, other than the booth isolation?
We usually do things that way, but what we don't usually do that we did differently this time is, for example, I kept a lot of the scratch vocals. And the reason I normally wouldn't is because I'm always in the room with the band. I don't like to be in a vocal booth. So sometimes, through my headphones or through my microphone, you'll get bleed from the drums or something that you don't want there so that you can EQ the voice to stand out. And so sometimes that exacerbates some of those extra sounds. Whereas this time, we wanted to have the sounds of people playing together and what those first intentions sounded like. And so we kept that dynamic, which normally I would be more picky about the technical precision of it. Whereas this time I wanted intention because I wanted to make a record that reminded people what a lot of people sounded like playing together, which is why I had an orchestra as well. Because obviously you can do things like make a string section on a keyboard or something and or overdub somebody, and those things are really great too, but there's something about the sound of a lot of people playing together that is so important and kind of missing from music these days, partly because technology, but more so because of everything is just too expensive and companies keep figuring out ways to make sure that musicians can't make money. And so we can't hire more musicians, or we can't. And it's such a tragedy, and everybody loses, especially the musicians. So I just wanted to remind people of how beautiful it is when there's people making art together.
I did want to comment on the orchestral elements within the record are just stunning, and that does bring me to Wreck. Is there anything in particular that you'd like to share with us about this track?
Well, this track is about how embarrassing it is to love so hard. You actually enter that embarrassment like you're entering an atmosphere, and it just burns off self-consciousness, and you come out just going, "This is hilarious. I look like an idiot." And you know what? I don't care. I love. That's what I do. And it's big and obnoxious and too bad.
Nico Case, a live version of Wreck on WNRN.
Come down, darling. Don't take me too hard. Please come back soon, sooner than you want to. Only thing in this whole world that would please me. I know it's selfish, but you're the sun now, and it's a big job, one you didn't apply for. But maybe you want this too. Do I look like the sun to you? Do I break thresholds on your face? Since I found you, eruption, the wreck of possibilities of volatility and stars. What clothes can't hold together, and I know I can't burn this bright forever. So just stay to the end of the fireworks show. There's no way to know what will happen, but it's for you and me. Thank you.
Disco Case live on WNRN, recorded at the National in Richmond at her show recently. She'll be back in Virginia soon playing the Paramount Theater in Charlottesville on January 18th. Nico, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with WNRN again today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I woke up panic, short of goals, water running in the bathroom sink. I listed sideways from my bed and threw my body down the hall. Forearm the ledge I braced and smeared the steam to find my face. Imagine my confusion and my horror. My body said to me, zip to another. Baby, I'm not. Oh, baby, I'm not. Baby, I'm not a werewolf. But I don't know about you. But I was. Shed a carnivore sound. Cut on me with the side of our mouths. I was been out now. And I remember nothing but horizon. I remember nothing but horizon. I ate miles and miles of the horizon. My reflection.